Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers.
We have been in a series called Living with Purpose. And today we come to the final message in the series, message number 4. And we're going to talk today about something that every one of us, whether we are in our teenage years or we are somewhere between 90 and 110, there is relevance, regardless of the age, about the subject at hand today. I will serve God's purpose in my generation. What a bold and declarative moment that would be to be able to say, I will serve with all that I have and with all that I am, God's purpose in my generation. Pastor Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church out in Southern California, been there now for over 3.5 decades. Pastor Rick wrote a book several years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. 30 million plus copies have been purchased of that book. I've read the book no less than 3 times. It's a read not only for once, but several times, and I will read it again. It is a simple read calling you to a daily reading every day for a number of days in your life. If you've never read The Purpose-Driven Life, you need to take time to read The Purpose-Driven Life. In that book, Pastor Rick asked some great questions about life. In fact, there are 3 important questions that he proposed within the book that's really, really essential. One of the questions was, why am I alive? Why am I alive? In other words, why do I exist on this earth? You ever ask yourself that? It's a worthy question. Another question is the question, does my life matter? That is a very powerful question because that question has to do with your level of significance. Will I do anything that is significant in my life? Does my life really matter? And then the heartbeat of the book is this question. What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? And that's where it comes back to this whole element of purpose. So he takes you from existence to significance and to purpose, to living a purpose-driven life. You see, God wants you to live out his purpose for your life and in our generation. The text this morning is one verse found over in the 13th chapter and the 36th verse of the book of Acts. I'm reading it from the Christian Standard Translation today, the new and updated translation of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's this: for David, after serving God's purpose in his own generation, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and decayed. David, King David, after serving God's purpose, not his own, but God's purpose in his own generation. When that happened and he finished that purpose, he fell asleep. That doesn't mean that he took a nap, but that means that he died. And the scripture was clear, saying that he was buried with his fathers, who also died, and they decayed, indicating that that's what happens to the body until the Lord comes again. But in the heartbeat of the passage in Acts 13, it's also mentioning, while human bodies will decay, the human body of Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day and never did decay. And that's the promise of the coming of the Lord. Now, there's always been a debate about how long is a generation. There's all kinds of things you can see in the scriptures. You see it mentioned, for example, of a generation. How long is it? Could it be what? 40 years? The possibilities are 40 years. Others say 70 years is a generation. Others say it could be as much as 100 years is a generation. But generally, a generation is referred to as all of your contemporaries living at the same time as you're living. Now, what's really interesting when you look at that, David led Israel 40 years. David started leading Israel when he was 30 years. That's 70. And then 100 years, some say. But I really believe the real powerful definition of a generation is all of the people that are living right now, when you're living on this specific day, May the 14th, 2017, right now, at this very minute, at this very second, they are living somewhere of the 7.2 plus billion people around the world. All of those people are my contemporaries. I'm your contemporary, and you are my contemporary. We're living at the same time and the same moment and the same generation. You see, I don't like anything about multiple generation talk. We have all kinds of generations today. I could give you the traits and all of that. I've studied it all. But I still don't like it. And I don't like it because it's classifying people into some kind of stereotype that they may or may not be. And it also creates division, especially in the body of Christ, everybody claiming their rights about their own generation. And I personally just think that's not very unifying. Because the bottom line is, we are all a part of the same generation. Sure, there are things we can learn about all that. I've learned a lot from it. But the real heartbeat here is learning about David. He died at 70 years of age. For 40 years he was king, 30 years old he became the king. In fact, in some translations of Acts 13, 36, you'll read something like this: after David had done the will of God in his generation, he died. That is very significant to understanding the passage and understanding what we're going to teach you today. Listen again. After David had done the will of God in his generation, he died. Now, there are two important things to understand when we talk about this subject today. The first thing to understand is the word timeline. Timeline. When we think about life and we think about death, we think of a timeline. Those timelines sometimes are very short, and sometimes they are extremely long. But as we would all perhaps along the way of life question the length of those, It's God who determines the length of your time on this earth. That's very important to understand. God determines the timeline of every person on this earth. That should really be very, very encouraging to you, because some of you who are older in years might wonder, why in the world am I still here? I've known folks in their 90s or more, many of them would ask that question. Or some who have been extremely sick, and they wonder, why am I still here? And then we wonder on the back end, I wonder why she died at such a young age. It's hard to understand, but all I know ultimately is that God is in charge of the timeline, the length of days that people live, not us. The book of Ecclesiastes has a word about this in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Look at it with me. There is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time, what? To die. Psalm 139, verse 16 says, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. What a dynamic passage. Look at that. Psalm 139, 16. Your eyes, God, saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book, and they were planned, every single one of them, before I ever even came to pass. That is a God who is sovereign, who is over all, in all, and through all, and has a powerful, powerful, powerful purpose for your life. So as long as you're still in the timeline, it's not too late to live out His purpose. And then the book of Job in chapter 14, verse 5 says, since man's days are determined and the number of his months depend on you, and since you have set the limits, he cannot pass. What is Job talking about? Job was talking about the whole element that God is in charge of the timeline. Remember what Job's wife taught him? Or told him? Why don't you curse God and die? Well, man, what are you doing? But it's Job who declared, no, God determines the number of my days. And God is the one who has set the time limits at hand that man cannot overcome. So the first word is the word timeline. But the second word is the word lifetime. Lifetime. You see, that's what we're experiencing today. We're living in a timeline. We don't know when the end of that timeline will come. But we're living right now a lifetime. And that would have to do with you determining what you're going to do with your life. You determining what you're going to do with your life. Oh, I think this is very, very important to understand. Because, see, in the timeline, God determines your time, but you determine how you're going to live your life. That's a lifetime. And God loves you so much, He'll let you live the way you want to live. Doesn't mean it's right, but He'll let you do it. And God has something so great for you, you should want to get in on what He wants you to do. But when you really look at your lifetime, how you're living today, I mean, here's a worthy question. The question would be, will you exist for yourself or something greater? What are you going to do? Which one? Are you going to exist for yourself? Job, title, money, possessions, power, recognition. All of those things have a place. But surely, life is more than about that. Would you not agree? And the thing is, what's more significant? I'll tell you what's more significant than you living out what you want to do about what greatness is. is that what God wants you to do is far longer lasting than what you will ever do. And it all depends on what's left when you're gone and what's left in heaven when you stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day. What's going to make it through the fires of the judgment of God? Another important question would be, not only that, but will you do anything significant with your life? Will you do anything significant with your life? I thought about that this morning early. I thought about my mom. It's hardly a Sunday it goes by I don't think about my mom and my dad. But my mom's been gone to heaven now for a little over 5 years. Mom and dad were very simple people. Lived paycheck to paycheck. He knocked on doors, sold products. Mom worked at JCPenney. That's what they did. But let me tell you something they did. Neither one of them were graduates of high school even because of the war. But here's what's really interesting about their life is that what they did was significant. They never got their names in the paper except when they died. But I will tell you this. They raised me in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, any night of the week, including 2 week revivals. We were there. They raised me knowing that the first check they wrote every week was going to be the first tenth that all God had given to them with their meager salaries. And they gave it to their local church that they loved and they gave themselves for. You look at a couple like John and Eva Floyd, part of a small church, had a very simple lifestyle, buried out on some family cemetery that I have a hard time even finding. I hope that Jesus finds them on the rapture. I mean, it really is hard to find. And no, I'm not going to be buried there. I want to be found. But in all that, you know, I can assure you, Mom and Dad had significance written all over their life. Because guess what? They had 3 kids. They have a bunch of grandchildren and a whole bucket full of great-grandchildren. And one of those children is me. Me. Now, I'm nothing special. But guess what? I'm out living their lives. They did something significant. And that last question is, will you live a purpose-driven life? I mean, will you choose to live a purpose-driven life? A life that is committed to God's purposes and a life that is right. Joseph Epstein made a statement, and boy, it just grabs a hold of me. I'm going to read this statement twice, but I'd like for you to get it the first time in order to appreciate it the second time even more. Epstein said, and I quote, "We do not choose to be born. We do not choose our parents or the country of our birth. We do not, most of us, choose to die. But within the realm of choicelessness, we do choose how we live." And that is what the dash is all about. Oh, you say, why is that so important? Let's go back and look at it again. I mean, this is a very profound, this is a just one honking awesome quote. We do not choose to be born. We do not choose our parents or the country of our birth. We do not, most of us, choose to die. But within the realm of choicelessness, we do choose how we live. And that is what the dash is all about. Now listen carefully. The dash is your life that exists between the point of your birth and the point of your death. On this Mother's Day, there will be many of you who will go out into cemeteries in our region, and you will stand beside your mother's grave. If I had the privilege to do that, my mom was buried over 10 hours from here. But if I could do that, I would do that. Because that still means something to me to do that. Now, I wasn't with my mom in 1929 when she was born. But I was with her on the day she died. At the moment she died. I saw her cross over. And while that was a tough experience, I don't think about that. And I certainly don't think about the day she died because I wasn't there. But I think about her life. And the life is what the dash is all about. See, if we were to go into cemetery after cemetery all over this region today, you would pass by gravestones that mean absolutely nothing to you, and all you will look at the reference is what? Maybe how old they were. Birth, death. But if you knew them, are you listening? If you knew them, neither one of those days will probably dominate your mind. But what will dominate your mind is the dash. The moment between they were born and the moment between they died. And listen, life is all about the dash, ladies and gentlemen. Life is all about the dash. How you choose to live your life between your birth and between your death. That's what people will talk about, is the dash. Acts 13:36 reminds us that God is always working in history. Always working in history. He is sovereign over all, in all, through all. And do you believe that today? And Acts 13:36 tells us that everything is created for a specific time in history. Israel was. David was. Isn't it interesting? God was sovereign over Israel when David led it. And God is sovereign over Israel now that Netanyahu is leading it. To us it has to do with a name, but I'm telling you it's bigger than the name. It's the sovereign hand of God over Israel and over every nation in this world. God was not caught by surprise at what happened in America last November. He's sovereign. He's over all, in all, through all. And He has a purpose and a will in every person's life and in every nation's life. And David serves the purpose of God in his own generation. Did you hear me? He served the purpose of God in his own generation. And then he died. You know, this is really insightful. Because when you look at it really closely and you look at it slowly, there is tremendous insight here in this passage. Some of you will wonder, when am I going to die? Now, that's up to God. That's not up to you. But let me tell you, even as hard as it is to say it, because it's, and I'm not trying to simplify the complicated, but I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. After David served his purpose and his generation, he died. When God is finished with you on your purpose, you will die. It's hard to understand. I've often asked, by the bodies of those who are young, why? I've often stood by the bodies of the older. And I get that, but at the same time, it's still hard if you know them and you love them. But I don't determine the timeline. That's God's business. But I can determine how I live in the timeline. And that's my lifetime. So whether your lifetime is 20 years or 100 years or more, it's all about the dash in your life. How you will choose to live the life that God gives to you. I think there are three things that we need to learn and we need to know about serving God's purpose in our generation. The first thing is this: God's eternal purpose for me is to be like Jesus. We talked about this in Sunday 1 of this series. That God's purpose for me is to be like Jesus. That's the 40,000 foot view of what God wants from me. Life is about getting me ready. Life is about me becoming more like Christ. That's the big eternal purpose of God in my life. Everything below that would be like job and family and title and role and what I do. But it all's bigger than that. It's up here. You got to stay up here, because if you go down below that, then that right up there won't mean anything to you. And isn't it amazing? God wants to use everything below the 40,000 feet to help you achieve what God's eternal purpose is for your life, which is to make you more like Jesus Christ. There's a second important thing for us to know. God's purpose in my generation is personalized and customized. It's personalized and it's customized. What do I mean personalized? God has given me a specific purpose in my life. That's what it is. It is my purpose. I don't have your purpose. I got my purpose. You don't have my purpose. You have your purpose. And guess what he does? He endows us with gifts. He endows us with power to accomplish what he wants us to do with the purpose he's entrusted to us. I mean, theologically speaking and biblically speaking, I'm the worship pastor of the church. That's what I am, is the pastor. But I don't do the song portion of that role. Now, could I do the song portion of that role? A little bit, enough to be dangerous. There would be a lid after 2 or 3 weeks. I could wing it and fake it to some degree, but the bottom line is it will catch up. Guess why? Because I'm not gifted to do it. And I wouldn't be happy doing it, because God doesn't want me to do that. That's not what His will and His purpose is for my life. So I want you to understand today what God wants you to do, He's gifted you to do, and He will empower you to do it. It's personalized and it's customized. It's customized. You see, God is going to use those experiences to shape you into becoming what He wants you to be. Come in your generation. And remember what we said early on, day one, day two, day three. I'm going to say it on day four of the series. All things that happen to you are not good. Did you hear me? All things that happen to you are not good. But God wants to use all those things for your good and to His glory. That's important. This little stuff that, oh, all things are good, it's just wonderful that so-and-so had this. No, it's not. All things are not good. Some of you are on the backside of a bad choice of sin in your family. Some of you are in the backside of a bad financial deal that had nothing to do with you. but it just happened. Some of you on the backside of losing your job, and you had nothing to do with it. Every evaluation you had was awesome, but transition happened to the company, and now, brand new moment. Oh, listen, all things that happen to you are not good, but God wants to use all those things for your good and to God's glory. Why is that? Because God wants me living with purpose. That's the third thing. God wants me living with purpose. I mean, this is what the key is. God does not want my life to be like some rudderless ship trying to figure out who I am, what I'm supposed to do the entire time of my life. There are many of us that will wake up one day and show up in heaven one day, and we will still not know what we're here to do. That's not good. If I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm going to be like a rudderless ship that ends up in the Indian Ocean. And I'm not supposed to be in the Indian Ocean. I'm supposed to be in the Pacific Ocean. That's problematic. And there are a lot of us that end up in life, we're not where we're supposed to be because that's not what God has willed. But we've chosen our own way. We've decided to live by our own desires. And God has so much for us that's much greater than that. Therefore, it's important that we discover something, and this discovery is worth it all. How God has gifted you and shaped you will determine how you live out God's purpose for your life. How God has gifted you and shaped you will determine how you live out God's purpose for your life. God is never going to call you to do something in your life that He's not gifted you to do. God will not call you to do something in your life that He will not empower you to do. God will not call you in your life that He's not shaped you to do that. You know what the shaping is? Now, the gifts are what God endows at the moment you're saved. But the shaping is life experiences. And guess what? None of y'all have my life experiences. And I don't have yours. And for those of you that have had children, I don't want yours. But the point is that God has shaped us through everything. The wins, the losses, the good, the bad. The challenges, the victories, the defeats. The trauma, the tragedy. God shapes us all through that. And here's what I'm finding out. He converges all that in the last half of your life to live out His purpose for your life. I'm going to say something to every person over 50 years of age. You don't have to answer this, but I got a question for you. I already know the answer, but I want to ask you. If you're here and you're 50 years of age and older, have you not seen in your personal life that the very things that God converges in the last half of your life would be all calling upon the gifts that He's given you and the shaping of your life experiences to get you ready for this moment where you just converge like this the last part of your life? Man, I've seen that in my life. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in the lives of other men and women about how God just all of a sudden, man, he's getting this part ready, and we wondered 20 years ago, why did I have to go through that? Oh, that's right, it's in my toolkit back here. That's why I went through it. Okay, boom, right here. It's all going to converge. That's not bad news, that's good news. I'm just telling you, God is at work in your life when you least think He is at work in your life. And He does it to give you purpose. So whatever you do in your work, in your job, or whatever it is, be careful. Because there was something else I said in week one that we do not need to forget. That your identity and future cannot be determined by a job, a title, or any human achievement. You know why that statement is true? I'll tell you why that statement is true. Because if you tie in your identity with a job, what happens if you lose your job? What happens if you retire? Does that mean you lost your identity? You don't have a future and a hope? What happens if you don't have a title anymore? One day, I mean, you may have a title of this, that, and the other, but one day you're not going to have any title just like I want. Are we going to identify ourselves and feel good about ourselves only if we have the right title? Or if I stack up all of the human achievements, is that what my identity is? Listen, I appreciate any title, I appreciate any job, and I appreciate any human achievement I've ever been able to do. But if I find my identity in any of those, I am up for a bad, disappointing, discouraging future in my life. Because there will come a day when those are gone. So be careful. So it really comes back to understanding, am I making a difference for my life? And what does the dash testify about my life to other people? Acts 13:36 strongly tells us that after we serve our created purpose on this earth, we die. Therefore, there are a couple of questions that every one of us have to answer today, and that is, what purpose does God have for you in our generation? What is that purpose? Do you know what it is? Go discover it. See what God's up to. And then ask yourself, are you serving? Am I serving God's purpose in our generation? If you don't know what that might be, you might ask a few people around you. Just think what would happen in the corporate complexes of this region this week if the leaders in those corporations in groups of 5 to 10 walked around the room and one by one said, you know what? What I see about you, this is what I see you're really great at. You have something special in your life about this. Boy, it'd be pretty insightful, wouldn't it? We could learn about what God's done in our lives, but you ultimately have to decide, what am I here for? Well, today, before we leave this place, I've got to do something that I just have to do. And I've been doing it now ever since this series began. And I'm going to continue doing it every day. I'm going to make declarations. I'm going to declare some things to myself because I need to hear them. I'm going to declare them to God because this is what He says about me. I'm going to declare them to a generation that wants me defeated. I'm going to declare them to my church because my church needs to believe God with me. Not only about me, but about them. And every now and then I need to declare him to Satan because I promise he has one goal for my life, to steal, to kill, and to destroy me. But God's purpose is bigger. Life, and even life more abundantly. So I'm just going to say it. Declaration number one, I believe God has a purpose for me. Declaration two, I will pursue God's purpose for my life. Declaration number three, I believe nothing can hinder God's purpose for my life. Nothing, 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 nothing. And I will serve God's purpose in my generation. Oh, let me tell you, friend, that right there, that's some wonderful stuff to put in your heart every day before God in prayer. If you're going to take any picture on Mama's Day, take that one and pray that one. And we're going to say it all together before we leave here. That's right. Because we need to. I need it, you need it, we all need it, and here we go, and then we're going to say goodbye. Declaration number one, let's see it. I believe God has a purpose for my life. Declaration number two, I will pursue God's purpose for my life. Now, when we say number three in a moment, I just want to tell you, this is the biggest issue we got. Because Satan has told many of you, you're done. You have no choice. You blew it. The moment you did this, you disqualified. You are not disqualified. The cross qualifies you. The cross forgives. The cross overcomes. The cross helps you to achieve. And declaration number three is this. I mean, stick it in the heart of the devil today. I believe nothing can hinder God's purpose for my life. And declaration number four. I will serve God's purpose in my generation. Listen. After that, you know what comes? Now look at that last statement. I'm going to serve God's purpose in my generation. And after that's over, I go to heaven. What happens? I go to heaven. Are you going to heaven?